So the repercussions of the attacks in Mumbai last week are still being felt in South Asia. Yesterday, Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari met with Condoleezza Rice, vowing to take strong action against any parties in Pakistan that may have contributed to the terrorist attacks. Yet the rhetoric and the recriminations from India increasingly are bitter, as they're in the middle of a election campaign and one that is likely to be dominated once again by religious tension. When we think about religious tension in India, we certainly don't have to go back to last week to be reminded of the extent to which South Asia can be a religious powder keg.
Now the police are moving in to drive away these people. You hear the police whacking someone there. And here's a man being beaten up by a policeman there. He gets a whack across his legs with
it's the voice of Sir Mark Tully, the former South Asia correspondent for the BBC, who has decades of experience in the region. He joins us now from the BBC Bureau in New Delhi. Sir Mark, thanks so much for being a part of the program.
Not at all. Thank you for asking me.
You know, I was thinking of you last week and remembering the days eons ago when you used to file news stories for me at National Public Radio. And I yearned for your perspective on the situation in Mumbai. Can we take a step back from the attacks in Mumbai last week and see it in a bigger context than the kind of terrorist blow-by-blow coverage that we all were witness to last Thursday and Friday?
Yes, certainly. I think the one of the really crucial things about this is that we are seeing in India a resurgence of attempts to cause religious hatred between parties. And of course, when you get an incident like this, there is the real danger that that hatred will surge into violence and recriminations and revenge, as did happen at the time of the Bombay blasts and indeed at the time of the pulling down of the mosque in Ayodhya. But at the same time, India also does have a long history of communal harmony, and we shouldn't just think of India as a country which is permanently on the boil, if I could put it like that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the religious tensions or communal record of peaceful coexistence in India between Muslims and Hindus. The minority is sizable, 100 million, upwards of 100 million Muslims in India. And there were numerous accusations from Pakistani officials that we talked to last week who said that India needs to do more to reduce the tension between Hindus and Muslims. Otherwise, these kinds of attacks will be easily able to exploit the tensions inside India. Do you go along with that?
Well, certainly, I do think that what is needed in this country is that the economic position of the Muslim community should be improved. And there was a report some years back which confirmed this. And I also think that educational opportunities for Muslims should be improved. And, of course, it's very, very important indeed that a community as large as the Muslims, one could say it's even perhaps as large as 150 million, perhaps, must feel absolutely a part of India. But it's a bit rich for Pakistan to say this because, of course, they have in the past done what they can to stir up tension between Hindus and Muslims. And I think I go back to that point, you know, that this is a country where a Muslim can worship absolutely freely. None of the sort of disputes we have in my home country, Britain, about whether people can wear burqas or whether you can hear the sound of the call to prayer or not, whether that's allowed. None of these sort of disputes exist. Muslims are absolutely free to live their life. And of course, there are many, many Muslims who live prosperous and happy lives. There is a lot to be done, but it's very important not to exaggerate that and not to give the impression, as I said, of continuous tension.
Well, give me a sense of the evolution since partition of people in India regarding their neighbor Pakistan. Has it gone from a sense of this is a neighboring rival country with some border disputes to being more in the rhetoric that I heard last week of being just a chaotic land where terrorists learn how to do what happened in Mumbai last week?
Yes, I think there has been a change in the attitude towards Pakistan in that respect. But first of all, one does have to say that from the beginning, sadly, this relationship was a very bad relationship. There have been moments, there were under Nehru, there was in the last government, there have been in this government, when there were some possibilities of an improvement, but those possibilities never matured. But and the other thing, of course, which is an abiding impression in India, is that Pakistan is essentially run by the army, no matter who happens to actually apparently to be in power. And what goes with that is the impression in India. A senior official, Indian official, was telling me this only today, that the Pakistan army wants to keep relationship with India bad because that justifies its existence. Yeah. As he put it to me, it's an existential problem. So I think that is the sort of basis of the relationship, and you're seeing that come up again. But of course, the problem has become that much more serious because of this evidence, which India says it has, of direct Pakistan involvement in attacks like the one we've just seen and in the attack on Parliament.
Well, Sir Mark, before we go, just very quickly, I mean, with all of your experience and with all that India has going for it economically that we've experienced over the last decade, and Pakistan too, for that matter, I don't hear you sounding terribly hopeful at this point.
I'm not hopeful about India-Pakistan relations. I'm afraid that once again we're just getting into that dreary rut of accusation and counter-accusation. I do believe that international pressure is going to be necessary to resolve this problem. And it's interesting that India, which in the past has always said it wants only to have a bilateral discussion about the Pakistan-India problems, is now calling for international pressure. But equally, I would say that India-Pakistan problems are not the whole of the life of either of those countries. And I believe that India could well be in a position to weather the present economic storm better than many countries. Mm. And I think India will continue to grow and to develop.
Well, there's a hopeful note. Sir Mark Tully, thank you very much for being a part of the program. And Sir Mark Tully, of course, is the former South Asia correspondent for the BBC. Listeners to the World Service will remember fondly Mark Tully in Delhi. And he joined us from New Delhi with some perspective on what happened in Mumbai last week.
And what an extraordinary perspective
that
was.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.